actually through doing something good. If a person saves the life of some animal who is suffering, if he saves the life during that period, then again that, during that time also you must feel this kind of rejoicing. Feel happy and pray that you may also get such type of opportunity, such type of chance to do that. Even though you don't have any chance to do that, but through rejoicing you can enjoy that. Through rejoicing you can accumulate that type of merit. So in this way, if you go on practicing, rejoicing through seeing the good work or through seeing the accumulation of merit by other people or the quality of other people, through seeing that, if you go on rejoicing and praising to them and doing something, feeling something good and happiness in your mind, then that will help you to improve your boundless rejoicing. That is also a sort of boundless bodhicitta. Okay, now the fourth one now. The boundless equanimity. Equanimity means treat all living beings as equal as yourself. Normally we say that all living beings are Buddha because they have the Buddha nature. If all living beings have the Buddha nature, that means they are equal to you. Those small insects, we used to kill them very easily. Those many, many insects, seafood, for example, we get many seafood, we eat. Now, try to think that they are also suffering. By killing, they suffered a lot. They are also your mothers. They haven't been your mothers in your past lives. So if you go on thinking that way, then normally our mind will turn towards the Dharma and do something good, and your intention increases, and through increasing the intention, good intention, then normally it becomes bodhicitta. Because it is doing something good thing for the benefit of other living beings. So now equanimity, if you treat all living beings as equal, normally speaking we have father, mother, brother, sister, and our cousin brothers and sisters, and our close friend. When we see them, we think that they are close to me. When we see our parents, we think that they are so dear and so close to us. And when you see your son and daughter, you see that they are so close to us. But if someone who is your enemy, so say someone who is your enemy, if you see him, you just feel hatred in your mind. Now, what is the difference between your father and mother and that person who is your enemy? Actually, there is no difference at all. They are equal. But we give our attachment, or we like our dear ones too much, and we don't like those enemies whom we don't like. We don't like them. Because they are our enemies. We think that way. But if you go on thinking that way, that is some sort, sometimes doing good, sometimes doing bad. That means that is not good. You are discriminating, saying that this is good, this is bad. That means discriminating. That is not good. Because all living beings, they are equal to you. Especially, you must give your kindness and love to those who are giving you troubles, those who are your enemies. Whenever we do the practice, we say that first, most important seat should be given to your enemy first. The enemy should be in front of you. Your father, mother should be on the right and left side. That means these two are not so important. But the person who is sitting in front of you is the most important. So that seat should be offered to your enemy. When we do the practice, we do that way, according to Buddhist teachings. So I think so. It is better if we treat all living beings as equal. Don't give more attachment to your dear ones, to your relatives. And don't hate to other people who are not your relatives. Because according to the teachings, there is no difference between these two. If you go on treating they are equal, then normally you can practice that equanimity now. That is also a kind of boundless bodhicitta. Through that practice, you can awake your Buddha nature. And it can also help many living beings by doing that way also. So, yeah, I think so. Four boundless bodhicittas, boundless love, boundless compassion, boundless rejoicing, boundless equanimity. Through these practices, you can practice bodhicitta. You can do some sort of good job for the benefit of other living beings through these practices. Even though it's very difficult for us to practice, but from the very beginning, if you go on doing something positive, work, positive things, or positive intentions, then this intention can be improved. It can increase day by day. And one day, it will reach to the top and become fully awakened. And Buddha nature will be awakened from our own mind. This can make us to understand our real nature. So through these, we can practice and help other living beings. The main aim of the bodhicitta is for the benefit of all living beings, you wanted to become Buddha. That is the main aim. By becoming Buddha, you can help a countless living beings. Now, these are the practices, these are the actual practices. Now, in actual practices of bodhisattva, for example, it comes about six paramitas now. Now, these six paramitas is also an actual practice of bodhicitta. Through practicing these six paramitas, you are practicing bodhicitta. Now, for example, among the six paramitas, now the first one is the practice of generosity, giving alms to all living beings, giving alms to the poor, and offerings to the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. If you go on practicing that, that is one of the best practical practice, I think so, of bodhisattva. Through that, you can cut your attachment. Through generosity, you can cut your attachment. It's very difficult for us to give all our belongings to other living beings. It's more difficult for us to give our hands, our eye, our air, our body, to other living beings. It is very difficult. But if we go on practicing giving from small things, try giving small things, and then you can increase that, and then offer to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas more and more, and one day certain stage will arrive, saying that you can, without any attachment, you can also offer your hand, your head, your eye. So there are many stories of giving the body, eye. If we look back into the history or biography of many great masters, then there are many, many stories like that. Even Buddha Shakyamuni, when he was on the level of the first bhumi, in Bodhisattva there are 10 bhumis. Now, bhumi is in Sanskrit language. 10 stages are there in Bodhisattva. Among them, the first stage is, during that first stage, Bodhisattva's main practice is giving alms to other living beings. So, Buddha Shakyamuni was at the level of the first stage. When he was at that level, he was a Bodhisattva, and he was a princess, one prince of a king. So many, many long ago, say many eons, I think so, there is a king. He has 3 sons. Among the 3 sons, first one we say that is Manjushri now. Second one is the future Buddha, Maitreya. Third one is Buddha Shakyamuni, the youngest son. Now, it was supposed to become these two become Buddha, but because of hard work of this young prince, he became Buddha first. So, what he did, these three princes, they went in the forest, staying for sightseeing or something like that. For enjoyment, they went inside the forest, and they reached in dense forest, and they saw that a mother tigress, she gave birth to 5 babies, 5 cubs. So, the mother is so hungry at the time of giving birth to these 5 babies. The mother normally becomes so hungry. So, she wanted to eat the babies. She was trying to eat the babies at that time. And these 3 princes, they saw that situation. And the youngest son, he asked the 2 elder brothers, saying that, what she is doing? And the eldest brother, he said that the mother is so hungry, so she wanted to eat her babies. And he became so sad, that youngest son. And he asked, then is there anything that we can help them? And he said, it's very difficult to help them. Then who can give the food to the mother tiger? It's very difficult. Then he said, the youngest son, he again asked, saying that what food the tigress wanted to eat. Yes, the tigress wanted to eat the hot blood and hot flesh. Then who can give that? Nobody can give that. They said that way. And then the youngest son, he was so moved with that word. And they said, now they went away from that place. And when they reached certain places, then the youngest son said, I wanted to go for past the water, and I will come back. Please wait here. And he went back. Now that youngest son, where did he go? He went to that place where the tiger is about to eat the babies. And he went near the tiger. And he just took out all the cloth and he prayed, saying that, now I'm offering this body. For many, many, many eons, I took many, many lives. And I did not use my body properly. I didn't get any chance to give my body to any other living beings for their benefit. I can't use this body. Now, this time it is the right moment so that I can use this body properly by giving my body to this tiger. So may this good action accumulate a great lot merit, and may it bring me the fully, give the result of fully attaining the Buddhahood. He just prayed that way and he lie down near the tiger. And he gave his body there. But the tiger, he don't want to eat the body at that time. But immediately, then the son, he thought that now he is not going to eat. He searched here and there. He took some twigs and just tears and started tearing his body. And then blood started coming from his body. And the tiger started licking the blood, and afterwards the tigers eat all the body of that prince. And when those two princes, they coming, they thought that they returned back to in search of that their brother. And when they come near the tigress, they saw that his cloth is just hang on the trees. That means there is not a single trace there. Only few bones are there. Everything is eaten by the tiger. So in this way, the youngest son, he was so compassionate. He was so kind. And he also wanted to give his body without any attachment. Without any attachment. It's nothing, the outer material is nothing for him. But he is able to give his own body to other needy animals. In this way, he practiced giving his body, eye, hand, leg, whoever they want, he used to offer like that. And that is one of the examples of the bodhisattvas who is giving alms without any attachment. That is one of the best character of the bodhisattvas, the first level of the bodhisattvas, first stage of the bodhisattvas. So in that way, now this place, when the prince used to give his body to the tigress, this place is still there in Nepal. If you go to Nepal, then Nepal, there is a place where the previous Buddha Shakyamuni, he was a bodhisattva and he offered his body to the tigress. This is there. That is a holy place that many Buddhists used to go there and see that. Still there. It is not, no one is telling lie. It is written in the books. It is written in many texts. That Buddha Shakyamuni, during the time of his bodhisattva, he used to give that way. So, this is the best way of practicing generosity, something like that. Now, generosity is the first bodhisattva's character. Now, as soon as he accomplished that, after accomplishing giving the alms, offering whatever he had, even his body without attachment, that is one of the greatest offerings now, without any attachment. Now, secondly, it comes the moral conduct. Among the six paramitas, secondly, it comes about the moral conduct. Now, even if a bodhisattva became fully accomplished in giving the alms, he is fully, say, well practiced in givings, even if he is fully accomplished in givings, but that is not, still he has many things to do. And so when he reaches the second stage, the taking of morality or preserving his moral conduct. So moral conduct means he, whatever he thinks, whatever he sees, whatever he do, whatever he thinks, it should be for the benefit of all living beings. That is a sort of moral conduct now. Through that, if he can practice well, then in this way he can improve and he can go to the second level, to the third level. That means in the third, it is talking about the patient. Patience. Patience means you must have patience in practice. You must have patience. If someone disturbs you, you just practice patience. If he says you are foolish or you are thief or you are dacoit, you won't become that way. But be patient and practice that. Then normally that person who is speaking ill of you also won't say anything. So that is also a kind of practicing Bodhisattva's practice. First, generosity. Second, moral conduct. Third one, patience. Fourth one is diligence now. Fourth one is diligence. Diligence means you have to practice, even if you won't give any kind of result after practicing many years. Don't worry. You are practicing good. Because of that practice, it can purify your defilement. But you don't know that after practicing, it purifies your defilement. But after practicing, definitely it purifies your defilement. So one day it will reach in certain level so that you can understand that, oh, after this is the real result. So through doing diligence, even if you practice for 12 years, 9 years, or even if you practice for whole life, if there is no kind of result there, don't worry. Be patient. Try to practice. Then, normally, through the diligence, the inner power or say the defilement, whatever you have accumulated in the doing some bad actions in previous lives, those will be purified, and in this way the quality increases and the defilement, the obscuration decreases. So you should not say that I practice Dharma, I take refuge Dharma to Buddha Dharma in Sangha, and I have practiced that for many years, but it doesn't give any kind of result. It doesn't cure my diseases. Don't say that way. Because Dharma or the practice doesn't mean to purify or give only the, say, worldly pleasures or to cure the disease. It doesn't mean only that much. But to practice Dharma means it can purify all kind of defilement. It can accumulate all kind of good merit so that after accumulating the merit and wisdom to kind of accomplishment, it will increase. And one day you will reach in certain level, then you can realize during that period that your practice has done something good. So this is diligence. Fourth one is diligence. Now fifth one is about samadhi or the concentration or meditation. Now, meditation means through meditation you can accumulate the greatest merit. If you meditate Buddha Shakyamuni, or if you meditate Buddha Amitabha, or if you meditate Guru Rinpoche, even for a minute, it can destroy, after meditating, it can destroy many, many defilements which you accumulated in during many lives. It can minimize it. It can purify it. So through concentration on the emptiness or egolessness, or through the meditation of the wisdom of the Buddha, only thinking that, whenever you face any kind of problem, you just think Buddha Amitabha, you just think Buddha Shakyamuni, you just think Guru Rinpoche, then it will bring you peace in your mind, and it can also decrease the defilement. It won't let increase your bad karmas. It will help you. So through meditation, it can help you to become Buddha. Okay. So, out of six paramitas, now fifth one is related with the samadhi or the concentration meditation. So meditation is also a part of character of Bodhisattva. Now the last one is talking about the wisdom. Pragya. Pragya in Sanskrit, it is, in Tibetan we say Sherab, the highest way of thinking, or the highest wisdom. So this wisdom is the real nature of Buddha. The nature of Buddha awakened and you become fully awakened, you can understand everything. So now here the wisdom, practice of wisdom through differentiating between the real or the unreal. This wisdom has the power of understanding what is good and what is bad, what is wrong and what is right. Now, through this, we can also understand that all phenomena has no real. All these are not real. These are only the fake. It is created only from the mind. Now, everything comes from the mind. Now, mind is a dualistic mind, it's a conception. Through conception, we used to create everything. So, even though these are not real, we treat it real. We think that these are the real things. But actually, these are not the real ones. If you go on practicing on wisdom, then normally everything, all these phenomena, it's a creation from the mind, and mind is not the real one. The real nature of the mind is Buddha nature. So Buddha nature has no discrimination between bad or good, between animal or the Buddhas. All are equal to him. According to his, according to Buddha's way of thinking, Buddha, they think that all living beings are equal. So, if we practice, all phenomena is emptiness. There is no reality at all. It is created only from the mind. So if we destroy the conception, or if we destroy the ego, or if we destroy all the defilement, then we will reach and the certain levels. That means it is very near to become Buddha. So in this way, I think so, this is also a kind of practice related with the Buddha's real, actual practice. Now coming towards six paramitas. All these are related with the Buddha's, Bodhisattva's character. Now, through practicing six paramitas, then